We are gathered in his name this morning, just saying in our hearts, you are the answer to life. Life can be hard, but you are the answer for my life. Isn't that true? Isn't it good? Yeah. And then you came this morning to listen to a Bible message, a good message from the Bible on the grace and nature of God. So we have a teaching, so we'll start from Mark chapter 15. And we want to, we have the Shibley family over here, and I'm forgetting the other last name. Say it again. Oh, yeah, that's, no, but this family from upstate New York. What? That family. That one over there. That one. So we welcome you, and I'll have to learn the names because it takes a while. Dobbs. Thank you. Thank you. Dobbs family. Took a while, didn't it? Yeah, it's not bad. Praise the Lord. And let's see. Sophia Pin, I don't know your last name now, but from France, she came to be with us from France. Just came this morning to be with us. Well, beautiful, huh? So good, yeah. All right, so we are the children of God, and in the story here in Mark 15, we have a historical context. And it's a very dark time in Jerusalem. There's a mood in Jerusalem at the time, and we'll read about it. We will read about the Sanhedrin, Pontius Pilate, and an antichrist mood, like get rid of him, get rid of God. And actually, if you look at John 1, we can put it up on the screen, John 1, verse 1. It's written very clearly there. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. The light shines in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Okay. So we have exclusion, inclusion, exclusion. We have light, they don't go together. Like the light and the darkness cannot go together. And in the world that was made by him, verse 9, that was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I think we know this, but it's clear that when Christ is brought to be crucified, there was a spiritual reason why he was not accepted. But wasn't he a remarkable person? Yes. Didn't he do miracles? Yes. Wasn't his teaching spiritual and powerful? Yes. But we don't want him. But we don't want him. That's the message here. Look at Mark chapter 15. I'm sorry. Mark 15 and verse 1. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. There is a power structure here. Actually, the organization in Jerusalem was this Sanhedrin, and they are saying, we don't want him. And so we read what happened, verse 2. Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And he answering, said unto him, You say it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Pilate asked him again and said, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against you. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. In John 14, verse 30, could we put that up on the screen? John 14, in verse 30, we see at the Last Supper, Christ said, Hereafter I will not talk much with you. This is to the disciples. For the prince of this world. What does that mean? Prince of this world, right? Prince of this world, right? Comes. He comes. What does that mean? He's in power. He has authority. He's with people. These people have power. They are the darkness. And Jesus is saying, I'm not going to talk because the prince of the world comes and has nothing in me. He has no handle in me. He has nothing in me. He cannot connect with me. The darkness doesn't connect with the light. You know how your suitcase, you have a handle. Like, where's the handle to the door of your car? Where's the handle? How can I get in? How can I move this thing with no handle? Christ is saying, they can't control me. They will exclude me. I'm on the outside. Outside of what? What is in power? What is the mood of the world in Jerusalem when they are taking to crucify him? So we have a definition for it. And we'll look at that in a minute, but I want to say something. There is in the world there's three elements that we see in the scripture. There is the spirit of the world. So the world has a spirit or many spirits. The point is that the world in a spiritual way does not connect with God. That God is outside. However, there is religion in the world, and we use the name God. But if you ever find the real God, you're not in the world. When the real God shows up, the world is not, it doesn't get it. And there should be something in your life that is so great that's from God. There is something that is in your heart, in your life, that is from God that makes you different from the world. And that happened to Christ. They had meetings. They talked about it. They analyzed him. They found him. They understood. And he's on the outside. No way. This guy is not the guy. No way. We don't want him. So you have the spirit of the world. You have the wisdom of the world. Is in 1 Corinthians 1. This is 1 Corinthians 2:11 to write the verses down. And by the way, you want to be reading your own Bible at home. You want to be studying your Bible. You want to study books about the Bible. You want men and women of God in your library. You want the Bible in your heart. You want to learn the Bible. And one of the things, when we give the verses, you want to take those home with you and look them up and study them. Maybe have index cards like back in my day to memorize Bible verses and hide them in your heart. Today you might have it on a screensaver on your phone, but you want to be learning the scripture. Where does it say that? How about money? What does the Bible say about money? What about peace? What about love? What's the doctrine of love? Do you have Bible verses on the doctrine of love? Is that a part of your life? And the answer is yes. You want that. Number two is the world. This is like the word world or cosmos, the Greek, which means order, order. Chaos is disorder. Cosmos is order. That's where we get the word cosmetics. It's like the woman puts her face in order. All right, so turn to your neighbor and just say, the woman puts her face in order by putting on cosmetics. Okay, that's fun. All right, so you have cosmology, that the universe is a orderly universe, and the world is organized. You have the wisdom of the world, and they will say Jesus is not in the picture. We don't want God in this world. You can talk about God, you can believe in gods, you can have God, but don't have God show up in your life. Don't have God in your life, the living God, the real God. We are against that. That's really the way it is. And then number three, the world has a fashion of the world, fashion. This is the Greek word for a schema. It's schema is the Greek word, and it means a plan. The schema is we have, like with blueprints for a building, we have the blueprints or the schematic, electronics, the schematic, engineering, the schema. There's a world that makes sense. There is a order in the world. There is a mind that is in the world that's making our civilization work. But the problem in the world is that they don't have God. They don't want God. They will crucify God. The world will do it. Pontius Pilate is the name, but it doesn't matter. The names change all the time. The same thing is happening all the time in the world. We don't want Jesus Christ. We don't want the living God in our hearts and minds. You can live your life without him. You can be an engineer, a CEO, a teacher, a doctor, a politician. You can live your life without God, of course. But you can have a religion and believe in God. That's fine. But don't be serious about it. Don't have God in your life. That's the way it is. And that's what happened in Mark 15. And there's a lot to say about this. I think we could slow down and really, really process this mind. Let's go over to Mark 15 and read more about it. There is actually a mood at the cross, at the court, at the hearing on Christ, and it's the chief priests, verse 3. The chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Now, who are you accusing? Christ. Like, who is he? He is God. Has he ever sinned? Never. What are you accusing him of? Of his teaching, of his spirit. We are accusing him of many things, of who he is, his attitude. And what is at the root of it is their jealousy and their envy. Please be careful of that in your heart, because you will find a lot of support. If you are envious or you are jealous, you will find in the world they feed on that. They love that when you hate somebody. They love that when you look for revenge. They love that when you are hating them on the social media platform. They love it when you can throw mud at each other and hurt each other and destroy each other. And that's like just the way it rolls. It's how the news works. You know, it works a lot. Like, there's a lot of evil from the tongue that comes from the heart that is in the world. And they live on that. And that's how it goes. So, Pilate, however, has an idea that this guy who says he's the king of the Jews, he should go free. And besides, Pilate's wife had come to him and said, don't have anything to do with this guy. I had a dream about him. Like, don't have anything to do. So Pilate is already, oriented to, letting him go. And we read that here in Mark 15, verse 6. Now at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomever they desired. There was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, what, will you that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Come on, let me release him. Come on. Do you want me to release him? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. Pilate saw that. Even though I might see it in the right way, do I have the power to release him? No, because the world is so strong. The world is a powerful thing. It doesn't matter. Pilate, you don't have what you need to release him. You don't have it. And I think you, all of us, should come to this realization. I don't think that you got what it takes to live this life, to be honest. I don't want to discourage you. It's very discouraging news, though. I don't think you got it. I don't have it. But Christ has it. Do you have what it takes to keep your marriage together, to raise a family? Do you have what it takes to be honest when you're tempted? Do you have what it takes to be loyal to your wife or your husband when you're being tempted? Do you have what it takes in the world and the way the world is rolling? Can we be different from them? Can we be salt and light? And my answer today is that, no, I don't think I got it. You put me in this situation, and I don't have what it takes to go contrary to the world. So I have a little bit of a diagram here just to put up on the screen. It's a puzzle of three pieces. It's that rectangular pieces. Yeah, that one. And there's just three pieces. And I want to compare those three pieces to these three here. There is the spirit of the world. You can call that the green part. The wisdom of the world, the yellow part, and the fashion or the schema of the world, the people of the world, the way the world rolls, they're interlocked. They're very strong. It works together. And Christians, we are drawn into the world. We become part of it because we're afraid of being different. Or I got to do what everybody else is doing. Everybody's doing it, so I got to do that. I'm like Pontius Pilate. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. I don't know about this. I don't think it's right. But, yeah, I got to do it. You got to do it. Don't let Jesus go. Okay, release Barabbas. Release Barabbas. And they started to cry out, Barabbas, Barabbas. What should I do with the one called Christ? Crucify him. Crucify him. So that's the way it is. But we have good news. And that's in chapter 15, in verse 19. Christ is on the cross, and he died. Verse 39 of Mark 15. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. What got my attention when I read that last night was the mood of what happened. It was dark. Death was in the air. the Son of God is hanging on a cross as a dead man. And there was a centurion there who saw something. He did. And that's like God. God shows up in dark times. God shows up when you think it's all over. God shows up when somebody's in a cancer ward or in a prison cell, or like we heard yesterday, one brother shared from Jarrettsville, Maryland. He came to just visit us, and he said, when I had a tragedy happen in my life in 2006, tragically, accidentally, I ran over my 18-month-old son, you know, with a car, I assume in a driveway. What darkness, what sadness, what tragic things can happen in a life? And what I want to say here is that the world is very happy when Christ is crucified, but they're also very confused because it doesn't solve any of their problems. The world doesn't gain by destroying people. The world is laughing at him, and then they go home sad, confused, and they don't know what is going on because the world is not the answer for your life. That's why you get out of drugs. That's why you stop cheating. That's why you get loyal to God and you seek God and you want God in your heart. Because you find out the world is not what it's a lot of jazz, a lot of pizzazz, a lot of stuff. But where does it bring you? Can it save you? Is God in it? Can God, and here's the centurion, soldier, and he sees the Son of God hanging as a dead man, and he says, truly, this was the Son of God. Wow. That's what I want to share in the closing part here about this story. It is really written in Ephesians 2, and we can see here what God does with us. I love the recovery program we have at our church here. They meet on Friday nights with Pastor Ramir. And I love to hear the stories about people who have addictions and get free from them. And it's the story of the Christian faith through millennium, where you see somebody like St. Augustine was a womanizer running around with women in his early years, but a brilliant man. But without God, his mother was praying for him. I think 9 days before she died, he got converted. And a short time. I don't remember the time, actually. I think it was that. But he, like many people in our world, are in the world. They go to the university. They are in a worldly spirit. They are never talking about God and grace. They don't know what it means. They don't know the gospel. They don't know the Bible. We all know it. The Bible is maybe in a home, but never read. The Bible, they don't go to a church. They have ideas about it. The world, the wisdom of the world, the way of the world is strong in our upbringing, is how we grow up. And then, unfortunately, we're very lost. Very lost. We'll look at chapter 2, verse 1. And you have thee quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Living dead people. Living people, but dead to God. God. Oh, yeah, sometimes you stand on the seashore and you say, wow, God. Or I look up at the sky, wow, God, and then it goes away. We're God conscious, but we're dead to God. We don't know who he is. We don't have that feeling about God all the time. Sometimes it comes and goes. And then we might think, wow, it'd be great to know God, or wow, that would be awesome if I could live with God. But where would I go? How do I find that? How could I have that? How could I have God in my life? No, that's pie in the sky. No, that'll never happen. You got your problems. You got issues. You got real problems. And that's how we are. But God, when we were dead and we walked, verse 2, in times past, according to the course of this world. Let's write that down here. Course of the world. The way of the world. We walked in the way, the course of the world. The philosophy, the movies of the world, the music of the world, the philosophers of the world, the atheists of the world, the movie producers and directors, the writers of the plays and the movies of the world. We lived in them. We read the magazines of the world, the programs of the world, the education of the world, the philosophy of the world. That's how we lived. We were dead in our sin, but we were in the world, and that's how we lived. And they would say things to us, and but nothing really hit it fed our sin nature. And our sin nature, give me another one, give me another one. How many weekends would I say when I would go out to party, I'll take another one. Then I would go home in sorrow and then do it again the next Friday. Or have that relationship and then that falls apart till you get another relationship. That falls apart too, and then you get another one, and somebody moves in with their boyfriend, and then that goes sour after 2 years, and then they go get another one, and then they do a vacation. Maybe they pull some money together, and then they do and then they may get into a bad habit that devours their money, so they start to steal and hurt and rob and so on. They feel bad about it, but they are in a whole thing, a schematic. They are in a schematic, a way, a course, and we walked. But you might say, I've never been a criminal. I know, but you've been proud. We have been proud and thinking that life is about us, maybe what you look like or how you sound or how you talk. We're in the world. And we were dead in our sin. Verse 2. Walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. There it is again. Prince of the world or the prince of the air. Why does it say air? Because the world is like this. World is like a globe, and then we have an atmosphere around it. And Satan was cast down to this world, and this world is the globe, the earth, and the air that we breathe. And Satan and his demons are in the air, and he's in charge of the air. And it seems to me that a lot of our thoughts and our things that we get stimulated by come through the air. We don't know how it works physiologically, but maybe electronic little shocks or transfers of energy that happen in the air that affect our brain. And I'm tempted. Maybe the murder and the violence that we see in our society is coming from demons. Because in John chapter 8, it says, he is a murderer. He is also a liar. And in that mood in Jerusalem, when Christ is brought before Pilate, Jesus is saying, I'm not talking anymore. Christ, this is going to happen to me. Christ, they will have power in the air over me. And my Father is giving that to them, so they will crucify me. They will say bad things about me. They will mock me. And you will see what the world really is. The world mocks us. The world accuses us. The world is against us. Right? Jesus said, if the world hated me, it will hate you. John 15, verse 18. It's spiritual. It's real. So, he is the prince of the power of the air. Be careful what you say with your mouth. You might be a tool in the hand of the devil. Be careful what you say that could hurt a sister or brother, or use you to seduce somebody into evil. Come with me. Have another one. Come with me. The first one is free. But I'll give you a special treat. The second one is free too. It says the mercies of the wicked are cruel. Wow. The mercies of the wicked. There's a drug dealer, and he goes, the first one is free. That's mercy. But it's a cruel mercy. Guys, it'll hook you and destroy you. That's the devil. Do you discern the devil when you listen to him? Do you discern the devil in the world? Do you discern how this thing works to trap us and to take us out and to hurt us? Because we are God's people. We are the chosen. We are blessed with grace. We have the living God. God is our Father. We are in a world that is against Christ. But wait a minute. There's a centurion who sees this was the Son of God. And there is darkness saying, no, he is Beelzebub. He's a deceitful man. He's an evil man. And he says, no, he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. They are happening at the same time. That he's being destroyed, and then God is revealing himself in the darkness as the light. And that's like us. Which side are you on? I've got to be honest. Sometimes we go on the wrong side. Join in and we are part and party with the world to accuse the brethren and accuse the church. Never accuse and attack the church. But the devil is the accuser of the brethren day and night, Revelation 12:11. But be on the right side of it. Learn grace. Learn faith. Learn to edify. Learn to pray. Learn to serve. And love the church the way Jesus said he loved the church, right? And a husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church. And he loved us when we were weak. And he loved us when we were guilty. And he loved us when we were in the world. And he loved us when we were dead in our sin. And he loved us. Let's finish up here. Chapter 2, verse 2. It says, when time passed, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Let me make a comment on the children of disobedience. Who are they? It occurred to me years ago when I was meditating on this. Children of disobedience are the world's heroes. They're a class of people. Children of disobedience, they are, live their life as the people that other people look up to, because we need somebody to look up to. So we look up to Hollywood stars, athletic winners, heroes. We look up to business people who are successful. We look up to professors and teachers. We look up to musical people who cut top albums and presentations, and you see these people, and you could name them, that are in our present culture. And maybe if you go 40 years ago, some of you know those names. But they are the tools that are used to run the world. You need some atheist that's going to be a best-selling book writing. They are somebody's got millions of followers on social media, and they are saying antichrist things or nothing about Christ, nothing about God, but they are being followed. Like they are successful. They are maybe actors or actresses. They are the children of disobedience that make a category for people in the world, especially Americans. We love celebrities. Like Americans love celebrities. I want to give you a line. I think if you are spirit-filled, then you don't have celebrities. We're like all the same. Everybody, basically, we're all human. Jesus would not be influenced by a celebrity. He would be with them to minister to them and to love them, but not be a respecter of persons. When I lived in Finland, and Finland is a small country, and they're not like celebrity people, but there'd be a gold medal winner on the bus, you know, and somebody might elbow me and say, I think I know that guy. I think he won in the, you know, the ski thing that would go, what's that called? That you go really fast down and then you're flying out like that and landing on skis. Yeah, well, anyway, I saw one of those guys on the bus in Finland, and just a regular guy. I would respect him for his talent. But I'm not drooling over him. I don't need his. I mean, you could get his autograph or something, but I mean, are you going to go out of your mind? Guys, is somebody like that, somebody that does something, it's like, are you going to go out of your mind about it? Okay, that's enough. Verse 4, and we'll finish up here in a minute. God, who is rich in mercy, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ and raised us up together, verse 6, and made us sit together. Watch this, please. Here we go. We're made alive. It affects our mind. Our mind is renewed, Romans 12:2, and then we are together. That's the body of Christ. Where are we seated? In heavenly places. Heavenly places. Are you in the world? I am in the world, but I'm not of it. Okay, let's put up the last puzzle here. We got another little puzzle, 3 pieces. And so you have... we have this now. In the world, there was that world system operating, and we were in it. But God brought us out of it. He made us alive unto God. And that's like the first piece. Whatever way, there's no meaning in the colors or anything, but just there are pieces. You have the Spirit of God. Number 2, you have the mind of God. And number 3, you have the people of God. If I have you and the Spirit and the Word, then I can live in this world, and I will not agree with the world when they say, crucify him. When the world says, crucify him, I have of another mind, another spirit, and I'm with another group of people. And we say, no, he's the answer. He's the Christ. He's the Savior. We know that he had to be crucified for us. We know this. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, after he did it, and he bought us, and he purchased us, and he lives in us, now we have a certain mind and a group of people where we are in the same fellowship. We have the same heart. We have the same message and we have the same spirit. And that's the thing that the world doesn't like. Do you understand that? They don't like it if we are different from them. They don't like it that we have another message. They don't like it that we have our freedom and our liberty. They don't like it that we are not brought into their sin habits. They say, come on, you're too serious about this. We say, no, God made us like this, and we enjoy it. It's the answer for life. And in the darkest hour, when you are a child of God, in the darkest hour, your Heavenly Father will never leave you, never forsake you, will always have something for you, will care for you. Jesus is praying for us. We are His bride. We are a special group of people. We've been delivered from the world, brought out of Egypt, brought into the promised land, living by faith with a whole new mindset. We are here to evangelize, to share our faith. We are here to sit with people and to love them and care. So last, that brother who ran over his son, dark time, but God visited him. God spoke to his heart, and he started an organization for parents that have lost children. And that organization has grown. I think they are in 18 different locations now. And he's saying there is a message. There is something bigger than our pain, bigger than our problems. There's something bigger than the darkness, bigger than the world system. There's something better. The world does not answer our deepest need. Christ does. And Christ is the answer, the church, the Word, the Spirit. And when we have that lined up in our heart, in our life, and walk by faith in them, God will take care of you. God will use you, that out of your heart and out of your mouth will come something good. And the world, somebody in the world will say that again. Where'd you learn that? And you said, I learned that in my church. That's written in the Bible. Like, where do you go to church? I go to a church where we are taught the Bible. And we hope by God's grace everywhere in the world that would be happening. Because God's people have a message for the world. And you and I have it. So at your water fountain at work, share. With your relatives on the phone, share in love. With people that you don't know on the street, hand them a tract. Share it. Love them. There are many. We were knocking on doors here nearby yesterday, and it was sweet at the door, and so many people. And I said, if you come tomorrow, I just want to see you at the door and shake your hand. I'm coming, they would say. Well, we'll see in a few minutes if they came. All right, would you pray with me? Does anybody care for you? And the answer this morning is, God has done it for you. It's all yours. You've been accepted in the Beloved. But is somebody here who hasn't yet heard how God died for you? You might say, not me. Yes, you. You might say, I cannot believe that he could ever do. And we say, oh no. When we were dead in our sin, he did it. Not when we were shining and cleaned up our life, no. He did it when we were dead in our sin. And he does it for you right now, immediately, by believing in him. Put your trust in him, not yourself, but put your trust in him, and you have the gift of eternal life in all that we're talking about this morning. Say this prayer, Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, save me. And teach me. Thank you for this. I need you. In Christ's name. Anyone saying the prayer, just raise your hand. Our heads are bowed. We'll just thank you. God bless you. Anybody else, raise your hand. Yes to Jesus. Anyone? Thank you. Anyone? God bless you. Okay. Pastor Eugene. Amen.